Thank you for that. That's a blessing. Well, this morning, as it is Mother's Day, before we get started here real quick, I'd like to take a moment out just to honor and to say thank you to all of our mothers. If you're a mother here, then you're able to be with us this morning, can stand if you're able, and if not, just raise your hand just so we can acknowledge you and see you out there this morning. Where's all the mothers at this morning? Y'all are shy now. Come on. All right. Give them a round. Say thanks to the mothers. Praise God for them. Praise God for them. Thank you. And we've got something coming around for you, some little treats, a little gifts there just to say thank you, to show some love. And again, it's all in the glory of God. God has given us great blessings in our mothers and our fathers, and we always want to glorify God for all that He does. And I want to take a moment out just to say thank you to the moms. All right, well, as those are going around, we'll get started here with our introduction this morning. Now, Mother's Day is a day that's set aside each and every year, and we set it aside for this purpose, to honor our mothers. It's a way that we can stop just for one day, which they deserve it 24/7, of course, and they work 24/7. Because, you know, moms, y'all don't have just one day your work, is it? No, it's all day, every day. But we take this day aside just to say thank you and to honor them. And you know, God, in His infinite mercy, His infinite wisdom, He's gifted us with a mother and a father to be a blessing to us, to be role models to us, to be examples to us, to be protectors and providers, and so much more. Now, mothers have played a great many powerful roles in the biblical narrative, in the story that we see played out in the Bible. A great many powerful roles we see, and examples we see, lessons taught through mothers. Now, of course, I want to go through, we're going to take a look at some of these roles. We're going to examine them. We're going to see what it is that we learn, what kind of examples God has set for us through these women here in the Word of God. But I want to remind you that even though it is Mother's Day and we're awful thankful for our mothers and we honor you and we love you and we're going to be taking time this morning to show some of the godly examples of mothers, we always want to make sure that our emphasis is on Christ. And I want to show you here, as we get through here tonight, that the greatest blessing that we have, the greatest thing that God has done, isn't just the blessings that we have in our mothers and our fathers, but the blessing that we have in our Heavenly Father and what He's provided through His Son, Christ. If you would, please join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come before You this morning, Lord. We thank You. We thank You for the time that we have here together, Lord. We ask that You would have Your hand of blessing upon our church family, those that are here, those that couldn't be. Father, we pray for traveling mercies, for we know that many have come in and are going out to be with their loved ones, with their mothers today. Lord, we pray that, Father, You'd use us powerfully, that You'd be glorified, for You are worthy of it. Father, we ask that You'd be with the C family, Lord, and so much they're going through this morning, Lord. Words fall short. Words fall short, Lord, to describe what they must be enduring. But Father, we pray that Your hand would be upon them, that Lord, You would help them to recover, Lord, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, and that they would be blessed. Father, we ask that You would, Father, be with us today in the message, that You'd give each and every one of us ears, Lord, that are able to hear and receive the message, eyes that are able to see it, to have understanding of it, to grasp hold of the truth of Your Word. And Father, a heart that hides Your Word deep within, Lord, that it doesn't just leave us, that we don't just come and hear and go and leave the message here, but Lord, that it goes out with us, that we apply it to our lives. Father, that we'd be blessed and that You'd be glorified. Father, also we pray that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know You, Lord, that doesn't have a relationship, Father, that's never been to the cross, so to speak, Lord, to receive the wonderful gift that's been offered to us through the blood of Christ. Father, we pray that the Spirit would be working powerfully this morning. Lord, please be with me, Father, for You know that I am a man and that, Lord, I'm not even a great man. I pray that You'd help me to speak clearly, Lord, to teach clearly Your Word, Father, that Your will would be done today in the message. Above all, Lord, we want to thank You and glorify You in all things. And, Lord, we thank You for our mothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, as we get started here, if you would please, if you got your Bibles with you, hop over to 1 Samuel. That's where we'll be beginning this morning, 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, we're going to begin right at the very beginning, 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to talk to you about a woman by the name of Hannah. A woman by the name of Hannah. Now, Hannah is an example of what I would call persevering faith. Persevering faith is the example that God sets through Hannah. There, the very first chapter of 1 Samuel, look at verse 5 with me. It says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb." So we see right off that Hannah was unable to bear children. She could not have a family in and of herself. And she knew this. This was not news unto Hannah. However, I want you to pay close attention to Hannah's reaction, her response to her affliction, which is, of course, a barren womb. I want you to see the example that she displays in this. You see, there are a great many things that she could have been sorrowful about. The pride of woman is that she's able to give birth, that she's able to have children. It's one of the most wonderful things, and here she was unable to do that. But again, take a look at what she does and how she responds. Same chapter, go on down just a few verses to verse 9 through 11. "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child." So in other words, she wanted a son is what she was praying for. "Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now, she was praying to God to please to meet her in her infirmity, to meet her in her affliction, that he would be able to do what only God can do, to give her a son. And she goes a step further. She says, "God, if you would do this, I would dedicate him to you. He would be fully yours." She goes, "I only ask that you would allow me to have him." She's with no razor come upon his head. That's speaking of the Nazarite vow, which means that she's to keep him holy. Now, I want you to look at something here. Hannah not only displays an immense amount of faith, in what God is able to do, for she knows she can't have children, right? So she shows us an example of remarkable faith there. However, she is also setting an example, a remarkable example, of the application of faith. The application of faith. And the reason is because she makes it manifest in her actions. You see, faith is more than simply believing or the thought or the agreement that there is a God and the agreement that we ought to do the things that he says and that we ought to honor and we ought to glorify him. No, that's not just faith. Doesn't stop there. Faith is when we take this understanding of who God is, when we take the sovereignty and the might of God and we apply it to our lives so that it changes the way that we live, so that our faith is made manifest through our lives. And it's seen in us. It's not just something that we talk about. It's not just something that we know, but it becomes who we are. Who are we? We are the faithful bride of Christ. We are God's people. We live for our King, for our Lord. That's what faith's all about. And we see that in Hannah. Why do I say we see that in Hannah? Join me just a few verses later. Same chapter. Come right down to verse 20. Read with me 20 through 22 and see what Hannah does. Now that she's made this request of God, she's gone to him acknowledging what he can do. Now we see her actions. "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about for Hannah, had conceived that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." In other words, that's why she named him Samuel, because God had given her what she requested. "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, but then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord," catch the next verse, and there abide forever. Do you understand what Hannah just did? She prayed to Almighty God to give her the one thing that she could not attain upon herself. She could not give herself a child. That was purely in the power of God. She prayed and asked him for that child, and then whenever he gave her that which her heart desired most, what does she do? To show God her gratefulness, to show God her faith, to show God her love, she gave him to God, gave him up. She said, okay, I will take him up once the child is weaned, and he shall be fully dedicated to you. He shall remain at the temple. He shall be yours, not mine. That's a powerful, powerful example of faith and perseverance, dedication. Wow, what an example that we see through Hannah. I pray that each and every one of us would have the faith to step out like that and to live a life and to give all that we have unto our God, who, as I always say and is always true, he is worthy of that and so much more. So the first I want to show you is Hannah and her example of godly, persevering faith. Praise God for a godly mother. And the note that I want to make here about Hannah is the first thing about a godly mother, that a godly mother is faithful. A godly mother is faithful. Now, if you would turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2, I'd like to show you another example of a godly mother from the Word of God. Exodus chapter 2. And this is a woman who we don't hear very much about in the Bible. In fact, she's spoken of one time and one time only in all of Scripture. And her name is Jochebed. Jochebed. This is an example that we see in Jochebed, who is Moses' mother. Exodus 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi," that's the priestly caste, and took to wife a daughter of Levi," so two Levites, two priests, "and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." Now, I want you to understand what just took place here. That was Jochebed, the mother of Moses. I want you to see what has just taken place. What has taken place here is that the Egyptians, they have enslaved, they've put a burden upon the people of Israel, the Hebrews, and as a means of population control, Pharaoh has sought to slay all of the male children. But Jochebed, being a godly mother, sought to protect her child. And we see that example of a godly mother in Jochebed, that a godly mother is a protector. A godly mother is a protector. I want you to notice something. She protects him, yes, through swift action, to run out and to build an ark, and she hid him. Notice, she hid him until she could hide him no longer. So putting her own life in peril, she hides him. For if they had been caught that she had deceived and hid this child, surely they all would have been slain. But she does this. Why? The love of her child. She hides him, and when she can no longer, she says, okay, I've got to do something. So she goes out and she makes this ark and covers it with pitch so that it's watertight, so to speak, or as best she can. And then she places him into the hands of God, purely a step of faith. For she does not know what will come of him. She does not know where the current will take him. She does not know what his fate will be. But purely faith in God over her child. She, as a protector, she does this. Notice what else she does. She sends her daughter, Moses' older sister, whom is Miriam, out to follow and to watch it as far as she can, as long as she can. Why? Because she doesn't want to let her child go, but she has to trust in God to take care of him. And so she says, Miriam, go watch him. Go see where he goes. Now, she is determined to protect her child from anything, but she realizes that she cannot defeat the foe that is coming after them. She cannot defeat the foe. Folks, I want to remind you of a foe that we face, and we, like Jochebed, we have no power to defeat this foe. That foe is sin. Now, Satan, we don't worry about Satan, right? We have more power than Satan does. Why? Because we are the children of God. Our great God is sovereign over all things. What we do not have the ability to do is conquer over sin, our own sin. And like Jochebed, when she saw the foe that she could not defeat, We have a foe that we cannot defeat. We have to do like Jochebed and be faithful to trust in Almighty God. For only He can save from this hand, from the hands of death, the hand of sin. Only He can bring us to where we need to be in safety. And just as Jochebed sent her daughter to watch and to protect and to guide as a protector, God sent His only Son to die on the cross so that whoever believeth in Him might be saved. I want you to take a look also at verses 8 and 9 there in Exodus chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Go! And the handmaid went and called the child's mother. Now, the handmaid that she's speaking to is Miriam. It says, go and call the child's mother. So she goes and gets Jochebed now, right? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Jochebed was blessed not only in seeing that her child, because of her faith in God's provision and ability to save, would live that day, she also got to be a part of his life still. She was blessed in that. I want to remind you that the second trait that I want you to know about a godly mother, first of all, faith. We see that both in Hannah and we see it also in Jochebed, but we also see that a godly mother is a protector. A godly mother is a protector. So she's faithful and she's a protector. Next, I want to take you to Judges. Judges chapter 13. Again, another woman who we only see spoken of one time. Judges chapter 13, and we're going to begin there, verse 20. Read four verses there. I want to move to the example that we see in Manoah's wife, who is the mother of Samson. She is never named. We do not know her name. We only know her as Manoah's wife. There, beginning in verse 20. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. And then Manoah, her husband, he knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. I want you to notice something, though. Look what she says to him. Look what his wife says in response to his concern, his fear, his terror. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now, this is easy to miss, but I want to draw your attention to what we see taking place here. His mother showed wisdom. His mother was a wise counselor. That's what I want us to take from this example. His mother was a wise counselor and gave encouragement. So when you look at the message that we see here through Manoah's wife, number one, first and foremost, encourager. Encourager. And she was faithful that God was going to fulfill all that he had told them about bearing a son. Again, we see faithfulness. Again, now we see she is trying to encourage her husband. Now, I don't know about you. I would bet that it's the same. Do you know who my greatest fan has been from the day that I was born? It's been my mother. She has been my number one fan, even when there wasn't a whole lot to cheer about, okay? She's always backed me up. I think each and every one of us have a mother that's like that. If I was to ask you who your greatest fan was, I think that the church would be full today of a whole lot of hands saying, yeah, mom was always rooting for me. We see here Manoah's wife is an encourager. A godly mother is an encourager. So she's faithful. She perseveres in faith. She's a protector. She's an encourager. And we see these things. God is using these women. He's using these women to set examples for us, to show us things. I want to take you now to Naomi. Now, I'm not going to give you all the verses. You can find this in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, but I'll summarize those for sake of time. Now, Naomi, of course, was the mother-in-law of Ruth, both Naomi and Ruth had lost their husbands, and they return home now at the beginning of chapter 3, and they are seeking to find a place within the Israelite people, inside the Israelite community. And here's what happens. Naomi tells Ruth about a man by the name of Boaz, and she instructs Ruth what to do. She tells her where to be and where not to be, how to act, and what sort of things she needs to be doing. She tells her how to interact with Boaz, when to glean in the fields, how to go to him. And there in verses 1 through 6, so one of the things that she does is it talks about how when he lies down, that she shall mark the place where he lie and shall go in and uncover his feet and lie down there, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. What is she doing? The same thing that my mother has done many times, and I would imagine that your mothers have done many times. She is giving counsel, instruction, sharing wisdom that she has about how to proceed and how to handle these things. She's giving this advice unto Ruth. And so we see in our mothers a wise counselor. So as we go through, I want you to notice that a mother is like Hannah, is a faithful woman of God. Like Jochebed, she's a protector. She's an encourager, like Manoah's wife. She's a wise counselor that we see in Naomi, giving her counsel unto Ruth. Our mothers serve as wonderful examples of all of these things. They serve as wonderful examples of the love of God in many ways. But I want now to tell you of a greater example of God's love. The greatest example of love which we can find. Even, yes, greater than that we find in our mothers. And that example, of course, is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of the Lord's love for us. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus that we find in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13 say this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Note verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." In other words, what shows the greatest love? Laying down your life. Laying down your life. If you move into Romans, we see Paul speaking, tying these two things together, tying together what Christ said there in John, and then also I want to tie in now what Paul says in Romans. He says in chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, he says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And why did he do that? Love. The love of God. That love of God is displayed for us in our mothers and in our fathers. It is the reasons that they do all the things that they do, all the work, all the toil, the late nights, the worrying over us when we're not around, the encouragement that they give to us. It's the reason that they're our greatest fans. It's the reason that they seek to protect us from the things of this world, even from ourselves sometimes. It's the reason that they are that faithful example. Why? Love. But there's no greater love than the love that we have in our Lord. There's no greater love than the love of God. And this is displayed, and it's even manifested in the love of God, because John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Much like Hannah, but only to a far greater extent, God gave his only Son. And his only Son, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. He came to live for us and to die for us. Folks, it's all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus. It's all about our Father in heaven. It's the only means by which we can be saved, and that's why he gave his life. The Bible tells us that no man took it from him, that he gave it. He laid it down on his own accord, and he did that because of the love of God. So many blessings we have. So many blessings that we have, but none greater than the love of our God. This morning, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never felt the love of God, if you've never had God will just wrap you in His love, and you've never seen the encouragement of God, the protection of God, if you've never been saved from the condemnation and the wages of our sin. For the wages of sin is death, temporal and eternal, in this life and in eternity. That's the wages of sin. But God, because of that love, and that's why He sent His Son, and that's why Christ died, so that we could be forgiven, so that the blood of Christ could cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, if you don't know the love of God, if you want to see a love that far, far extends beyond anything that words could describe to you, that is unfathomable, unthinkable, unreachable, unimaginable, then this morning, if you've never come to Christ, if you don't have that relationship, in a moment, the congregation is going to sing. And at that time, we invite you to come down, and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved, how you can know that you're a child of the King. As the congregation sings, I invite you to come.